Chapter 4, verse 38, and the last few words are of that verse. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, the disciples have been told to go take a ship in the evening to go over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They had had one of the busiest days ever in the work of the gospel, or in their work with Christ that has been recorded for us in the gospels. He had been teaching his disciples and other people. He had been expounding to the disciples the meaning of his sayings. And as anyone that has been to a conference will testify, it's a very tiring business, sitting to someone preaching, teaching, and then trying to understand and work out what the preaching and teaching meant for their own lives. Matthew tells us that there were many miracles also performed on this day in chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. He tells us when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. And then it was in the evening hour that they entered into a ship, and his disciples followed him. And we see that the disciples had the job of sending the multitude away, and that could have been no easy task either. And so they were going in the ship, ready to go over to the other side. They'd had a busy day. Now was the time to relax. Now was the time for a break from the whole thing. And we see from Luke's account how human the Lord Jesus was. As they sailed, he fell asleep. And no doubt the disciples also were ready for their sleep. But we see there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And Luke describes it like this: but as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Here they were, tired, looking forward to their break, thinking, wow, we can now put our feet up. And here they are in a storm, probably like they have never seen before, although they were experienced fishermen, used to storms on the Sea of Galilee. But here they were fearful. Jesus says to them, why are ye so fearful? And of course, fear is another drain upon the human body and upon human resources. Now we need to remind ourselves here that these poor disciples were in this storm because they obeyed the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people will give you the impression that if you follow the Lord, if you're following after him closely, if you're doing as he says, then your life will all be peace and quiet. You will have a wonderful, happy time. But here in this story we see the opposite is true. Let's take the boat over to the other side, says the Lord. A storm arises. They are in fear. They are in jeopardy. And We can find ourselves sometimes in difficult situations, in trying circumstances, facing the storms of life, and we can wonder what we've done wrong, what can be the reason for this, why me, and so on and so forth, and we can begin to think it's having to do with us. But sometimes the storm comes, even when we are faithful. And the question that the disciples posed here can be our question too. Master, carest thou not that we perish? At work, at school, at college, we can feel the pressures as we seek to apply the principles of God's word in our own situation. At home, we can have differences of opinion and much friction sometimes. Sickness can come. Death can come. We pray, we seek the Lord, we expect a change in the situation. We expect the pressures to ease somehow or other. But then something else happens. And we wonder how much more we can take. And then we find ourselves falling into the same old sin, the same old bad thoughts. We find our tongues letting us down once again. And we come to read the Bible because we feel that we should. And we can find sometimes that the Bible is as dry as dust. And we find that we don't seem to get anything out of it like we ought to. And then we turn to prayer and we seek God. We get down on our knees. We ask God to be merciful and we carry on in prayer. And then we find our thoughts have wandered far away. And we wonder, is there no hope for us? And we find ourselves sinking. And we wonder if we are perishing. The troubles of body, mind and soul can assail us and cause us to cry out, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Troubles, trials, temptation. They occur as frequently as the members of the slow car society. You know, you go down the road in a hurry to get somewhere. It's a slow car and you want to pass it. And eventually you do. And you're going along steadily and you find there's another slow car. And you pass that one, you find another one. And the troubles and trials of life can be like that. Satan is hard at work, bringing temptation, bringing trouble, and he knows how to afflict us. He knows how to bring us down. Our own flesh lets us down, the world lets us down, and the world creates its own problems. And in all of these things, we too can be tempted to ask the question, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Before we try to answer this question, we need to ask another question. Who does really care about you or I? You may say family. Many of us have stable, happy families and we thank God for that. We are thankful for their care. We are thankful for their love. Yet how many times have we felt uncared for and misunderstood, even in our own families? Friends, we are thankful for friends. Yet how often have friends let us down? are not wanting us to share with them as we would wish. How many times we felt let down by our friends. What about the church, fellow Christians? Sometimes churches can be too busy. Christians can be too busy getting on with their own lives to care about where we are at and our problem and our situation. And anyway, if family, friend and church knew everything about you, your thoughts, your feelings towards them sometimes, how caring would they be? Who would really care about us if they really knew the thoughts of our hearts? The Lord Jesus Christ knew everything about these disciples. He'd heard their criticisms. He knew about their fleshly ambitions. And yet, he dealt with them here by lovingly stilling the storm. You see, if he had not cared about them, he would not have been on the ship. And we must ask ourselves, is when we are going through a trying time, we must, like the disciples, remember the Lord. At least they went down to him. At least they had the sense to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ, Master, carest thou not that we perish? The Bible tells us that all things work together for good to those that love God. Now we have to be careful of using that verse in a flippant way. Ever it's so easy to use it so lightly and uncaringly. But it is a fact that all events of life are given us to make our salvation more precious and to perfect us in holiness. God is a God who gives us good things. He gives us all things richly to enjoy. But we are also told to expect storms, to expect discipline from the hand of God if we are the object of his love. Those who are not the object of his love are not disciplined. And that's why their lives can appear so much smoother than our own. That is why the psalmist had to cry out about the ungodly, that they were not in trouble like other men. And he wondered why he couldn't be one of them. It's because he belonged to the Lord. And he was being chastised. He was being perfected in holiness. Doubts and fears are no bad thing. Doubts and fears are biblical things for the believer. You see how the psalmist often complains how God is far away, how God seems to be a God that has no interest in his life. And he cries out, I cry to thee, O Lord, in my trouble. And at other times he shows that God is God and he's glad that he is his God. God is a God who works his own wonders out in his people. sometimes in trouble, the love and grace of God shines through. God is the one who is in control. And we walk by faith. We walk by faith before a God who does not willingly afflict us. Does the Lord care? Does the Lord care for us? Well, the Bible tells us that He is a God that does care for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are to remember that the end of all things is at hand. We are to be sober and watching. We are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. What does Peter say? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And Peter's words there, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you, are not some cold theory he's worked out in his mind. It's something that he experienced. He was there on the ship when he felt that they were going to sink. And he is able to say to the disciple, to the church here, well, cast all your care upon Him, for He doth care for you. I know it from my own experience. We have to be sober, we have to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Does God care? Does Christ care? Well, we are told that the three persons of the Trinity have agreed to come to the aid of God's people. God the Father pitying as a father pitieth his children. God is a God that cares. The Holy Spirit is described as the comforter. Can you have someone who is a comforter that does not care? The Holy Spirit is a carer. And the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated His love for His people on the boat, but also by dying for their sins. If He was uncaring, He would never have gone to Calvary. He would never have died for the sins of His people. Storms prove His love. And in the storm, or after the storm, we see more of His power and glory than we would ever see without the storm. We'll come to that a bit later on. But this morning I was preaching in Welsh in Revelation, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 there. And to Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And I was trying to say there that the book of Revelation is not some kind of a puzzle that we have to put together and try and work out what event is going to happen when. But it is a book of praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. And right at the beginning of Revelation, John, before he describes any of the forthcoming events and some of the dreadful things that are to come upon the people of God, he shows to them the glory and the majesty and the love and the care of God in Jesus Christ. He tells us that the revelation He's giving is a revelation of Jesus Christ. He tells us that Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. He reigns over the world. He reigns over kings. It's not difficult for Him to reign over kings because He is the Almighty One. We think sometimes of the situation perhaps in Egypt, the change of president, what's going to happen? Jesus Christ is the Prince of Kings now in that situation with Mubarak, if he's still there in control. Whoever will be the next president, Jesus Christ will still be the Prince of the Kings of the Earth. He was the Prince of the King of the Earth when Queen Victoria was in her power. He is the King of the Prince of the Earth now that Elizabeth is on the throne. He is all-powerful, almighty. And if he can rule over kings and princes, powerful people, it's no bother to him to rule over you and I. He is the Prince of the Kings of the Earth. And this Prince of the King of the Kings of the Earth came down to earth to die upon a cross because of his care, because of his love. And John tells us, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. We are loved, first of all, from eternity. Jesus Christ loved us before he ever came into the world. And he loved us enough to die for us and to shed his blood for our sins. Now you may say, well, if he was God, he could have used somebody else's blood, an animal's blood or another man's blood. Such blood would not do. Because sin is a sin against divinity, against the divine being, against the Lord God. And the blood of animals and the blood of another human can never ever wash away the stain of our sin. Never ever. It must be divine blood. And the only divine blood is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came, God of God, to die, to make atonement, to wash us from our sins in his own blood. Proving beyond doubt that he cares for us even unto death. And a little storm of life is nothing, is not beyond his care. He has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is at the time when John was writing. He was Lord, which was before John was writing, he was Lord, and which is to come, he is still Lord, the Almighty. Whatever storms we face, Christ is able to uphold us in the storm. Even in the storm that the disciples went through, Christ had your care and my care in view. Had they not gone through this storm, we would not have been able to read about it. Had they not gone through this storm, Peter probably could never have written, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. There is a hymn that tells us, "Begone, unbelief, my Saviour is near, and for my relief shall surely appear." It goes on to say, "With Christ in the vessel, we smile at the storm." I don't think that's true. The storm, very frightening. People in a storm don't smile. One of the best descriptions of people in a storm is found in the psalm we sung, Psalm 107. Verse 23, they that go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven, and they go down again to the depths. Their soul, happy, smiling. The soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. I remember being on a crossing from Ullapool to Stornoway, and it was a very stormy day. A friend of mine from Stornoway phoned us in Inverness. It wasn't too bad there. He said, if I was you, I'd get the plane. Wish we had. We were on the ship, crossing, and we left Loch Broom Harbour, and wasn't too bad. I was downstairs having a cup of coffee. Begin to hear the cutlery rattling. She decided to go up and shut eye. And you looked out and all you saw was sea. Looked out again and all you saw was sky. And the ship creaking and rocking. And I've heard people up in the north, they're speaking of their experiences at sea. And they said sometimes you've just got to wait and wonder what will happen. And you know, sometimes in the storms of life, it can be like that. We're at our wit's end. We're like drunken men, reeling to and fro, wondering what we can do. Shall we do this? Shall we do that? Shall we do the other thing? What would be the best thing to do? Ah, we'll do this and this and this. Well, no, if we do this and this and this, it won't work, so we have to try that and that and that. And we try that and that and that, and that might not work. We reel to and fro, like a drunken man, and are at our wit's end. And some of the better commentators describe the sea as being a description of this world. And I think it's right and proper. This world is like a sea. It can be beautifully calm and we can enjoy it. But then other times storms arise and we reel and stagger like one drunk. And we're at our wit's end. We go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters. We come to know God while we're in this world. We do business with God in this world. If we do not do business with God in this world, we'll be cast from his presence in the world to come. And because we've done business with God in this world, we see the works of the Lord. We see his wonders in the deep. We see sometimes a storm comes and we get through it. And we look back and we marvel not at our own ability or our own ingenuity. We marvel at the goodness and the grace of God in Jesus Christ. We mount up to heaven sometimes. We have a blessing. We perhaps have a good service. We read the Bible and we find we are taken up with the reading and we're ever so glad and so grateful. There's other times, oh, we go down to the depths and our soul is melted because of trouble. In the storm, the sailor is tired, wet, broken-hearted, sees no hope. His soul is melted because of trouble. And that's the spiritual life, isn't it, if we're honest? Sometimes we feel there is no hope for us. We fall into the same old sin. We go down to the depths. Fearful sometimes of what a day will bring. When sickness comes to our family, to our home, we wonder, where's this going to end? What's the end going to be of this? What's the outcome going to be? And we fall. We stagger. But if we're truly the Lord's, we cry unto the Lord in our trouble, and he bringeth us out of our distresses. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they are quiet. So he bringeth them to their desired haven. The storms that you endure may not be very much to your taste, but they're part of God's providence for you. And they may be helpful to others in the great plan of the Lord. If you or I had not gone through the things that we've had to go through, we may not be as much use in the kingdom, in the service of God, as we would be having endured them. Carest thou not that we perish? Of course he cares. We, like these disciples, can take our prayers to him, knowing that we have a loving, caring Saviour. And when we see his hand at work in the storm, we wonder at our own belief. These were fearful in the storm. But when the storm was calmed, were they happy? No. They feared exceedingly. They wondered at the power and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's people, going through storms, worried about this and that and the other, find themselves at the end of the storm, magnifying the Saviour. Loving him more, fearing him more, wondering at his power and his majesty. See, it's far better to face the storms with a Saviour than to sink into eternal ruin. Do you have a Saviour this night? Do you have a God that cares for your soul? Do you know Christ as being the lover of your soul? Christ as being the one who died and gave himself that you might be washed in his blood. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he your Saviour? Is he the carer of your soul? May he be pleased to bless his word to our hearts. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we would come to thee. We would thank thee and praise thee for thy love and thy care. We confess before thee that the storms of life do assail us, and we wonder what shall become of us. We ask thee to forgive our doubting thee. Give us grace and help, whatever storms we have to face this week, that we might be able to run to thee, cry to the Lord in our trouble, and find thee to be a very present help in time of trouble. Forgive us our sins, even in our dealings with holy things we fall short, as preachers and hearers. O Lord, have mercy, and renew our spirits by thy grace for Jesus' sake. Amen. We would sing in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and our strength, in straits a present aid. Therefore, although the earth remove, we will not be afraid.